We're in a series, this is kind of the last that I'll be preaching on that series about addressing the messes in our life. And the last ones that we were talking about is addiction messes. And last week we talked about if you're going to overcome an addiction in your life, you need to be able to learn to receive love. Because a lot of addictions that we have is because we put up walls, because we were hurt or something happened to us and we don't let people in. And you and I are created in God's image, which means we're created to love, because God's essence is love. We are created to give love, we're created to receive love, and when something blocks that, there's that emptiness inside of us that you begin to fill with other things, because you just aren't fulfilled, and you don't let God love you, you don't understand His grace, and He can't come in and help you, and so you get bound into those things that you need to open up your heart to love, and we talked about that last week. Today we're talking about putting your affection in the right direction because Jesus said it's so easy to end up loving the things of this world more than you love me. And when that happens, then you become addicted to those things which never does satisfy. And so we're going to look at how do you put that in the right direction. As we're beginning this, thinking about addictions, how many of you know somebody whose life was messed up by addictions? You know, their life was kind of torn apart. Right. How many of you have addictions? Well, some of us are honest to say that. Most of us don't want to admit it. It's about, that guy's bad off. His life's been messed up. You know, but I think most all of us have addictions to something. Because what is an addiction? Addiction is something that you don't want to do, but you do anyway. You keep doing it. Some addictions, you know, we always think about drugs and alcohol. How about Facebook? How about spending money? How about gambling? You know, we talk about smoking. How about pornography or lusting? Different problems that people go through. You know, everybody, I think, has something that they really want to change. How about food? You know, can that be addiction? It's that comfort thing that I focus on that I can't seem to change. I want to change it. I have a tendency to drink too much Mountain Dew, and I try to get over it. You know, I really think the Mountain Dew, I think, this is just a side point, I think they put something in Mountain Dew that makes you addicted to it. I think so. Sugar? It has a lot of caffeine, and that's a kind of caffeine drug that we get addicted to, and then it doesn't really affect you anymore. But, you know, honestly, I think all of us have something that we find that controls us, and so we want to talk about that today, about how can we break those addictions and really find freedom. Some addictions, of course, are more detrimental than others, and some have a worse effect than others. But, you know, sometimes Christians get off on something that I don't like. You know, one of my pet peeves in the past is about pastors who would really get on people for smoking. I'm not saying smoking's good, but they say, you know, if you're smoking, then you're going to hell. Have you ever heard that? You're going to hell, and you smell like it in the process. I mean, have you ever heard that? And then they weigh 500 pounds, you know, and they're killing themselves through their eating, and they're going to have a stroke before the person that was smoking. And I want to think, you know, that doesn't make sense to me, because then you better put yourself in hell if you're putting another person in hell. You know, what we want to be about as a church, and I'm saying that we want to be a church, and I guess it's my dream that we would be able to love people and help people with addictions. I would like to think that the Ravana Free Methodist Church would be the place that people would go if they're struggling with addictions, because we're going to love them, and we're going to help them overcome, and we're going to tie them into God that can help them. Wouldn't that be great to have that reputation in the community instead of, okay, somebody's smoking outside that church, I don't want to go there. I mean, I would like to say, hey, that's a place you want to go because those people love you, they accept you, they're going to help you, and they're going to help you connect with God in a way that's going to help. So, you know, that's my dream, that we could get to be that point. But I want to talk about with you today the cycle of addiction, then the causes of addiction, and then maybe the cure for addictions, how we can break some of those addictions. We can all learn from that today. The first thing in the cycle of addiction, whatever we are doing that we don't want to keep doing at some point, and see if you can recognize this cycle, maybe not in yourself, but somebody else. Number one, it becomes part of my identity. It's not just something I do, it's something that this is who I am. So you hear people say, I'm an alcoholic, my parents were an alcoholic, I'm always going to be an alcoholic. Now, that's another one of my pet peeves. I like Alcohol Anonymous with the 12 steps, and I think you need to apply those because they have some good ones. But one thing they always say is, you're always an alcoholic, you're never going to change and be anything but an alcoholic, and so you get that in your mind. Now, I understand that because they want you to to always be working to prevent that. But I think in Christ your identity can change. I think what Paul said, I used to be that way. He said, you used to be drug addicts, you used to be immoral, you used to do all those bad things, you know, but now you're different because now you're new in Christ. You have a new image, you have a new you. And I think that's what we are. Okay, that was my past, but that's not what I am today. But what happens in this cycle of addiction is, okay, I'm always going to be big. My family is big. Or, you know, hear people say, well, I've always liked the ladies. I can't change that. You see how it becomes an identity. And instead of something that I do, I think that that's who I am and I can't change. I'm always angry, right? You know, I'm Irish. I can't help that. I'm going to explode and it's going to be a problem, you know. No, because somehow this addiction that you've got yourself into has become your identity. So that's part of a cycle that needs to be broken. Secondly, when I try to quit but fail, I feel increasingly hopeless. You ever done that? I tried to quit. I couldn't. And then every time I mess up, I'm more and more hopeless, and I think there's no hope for me. I think the church is about giving people hope that, yes, there can be a change. You can break the cycle. I don't have to stick in that. There's hope for me, you know, through Christ. And we've talked about that, but it's that sense of hopelessness, which Satan always tells you, doesn't he? Don't even try. I mean, you've tried so many times. Don't even try. And so in this addiction, you don't really fight it anymore because it's harder to fight it than just to give in to it, right? You know, so you just do it. I'll just drink the Mountain Dew. I'm no use fighting it because pretty soon I'm going to grab one anyway. So just forget about it, you know. So you have that sense of hopelessness. And then number three, any threat to my addiction becomes a threat to me. You mention anything to people like, you know, I think you're drinking too much Mountain Dew, and they just flare up, right? Don't touch my Mountain Dew. Don't touch my smoking or my drinking, or, you know, I don't know if you need to go to the casino as well, but don't touch my gambling, which I really do online because people don't know I'm doing it. But, you know, don't touch that thing because that's becoming a threat to me now. Because you love that thing or it becomes part of your identity. So even any mention of that becomes a threat to you. And then number four, which is really sad, I begin to lose my life. Now, Jesus talks about we lose our life to those things. We lose our life because it becomes so much of our focus that we're trying to overcome or we can't overcome that we never reach our potential. I see that in Christians so often. I think some of the most people that could be the best, do the best work for Christ, and they have the greatest talents, and Satan gets them tied into an addiction. That's all they can think about. They think they're no good. They think they can't overcome. They focus on that all the time, and they never reach their potential. And then they start losing things. People lose things in their life they care about the most, like their wife or their husband or their kids or their home or their spouse or their job. They begin to lose their life because of that cycle. So, you know, it starts out with this, it becomes my identity of this is just who I am. I can't change. I feel this hopelessness. It's a threat to me even to address the issue. I begin to lose my life. And so number five, I ease the pain by getting the next fix. I just get another Mountain Dew. I mean, what else is there to do? That even rhymes. That's pretty good. You know, just keep my fingers full. I need another fix. Whatever that fix is, whatever is it that gives you the thrill, whatever gives you the comfort, whatever gives you that sense of life when God says it's supposed to be me that does that, but you're letting these other things take that place and they never satisfy. And so it becomes a cycle of addiction. So how do we break that cycle? If we see that cycle in us or we see that in someone else, how are we going to help them? So I want to deal with the cause of addiction. This is really kind of a key for you developing that. And it says, the true issue behind addiction is idolatry. Now you want to say, oh, Pastor, I'm not an idol worshiper. I don't make any idols. I don't bow down before idols. Look at the definition I put here for idols. You know what an idol is? Anything that we have allowed to have a place of importance on the throne of our heart above God. God tells you, this is what he wants you to do, but the addiction determines what you do. No, I'm going to do that instead. No, I love that more. Anything you love more than God, you focus on more than God, you put your energy in more than God, you seek fulfillment more than God becomes an idol in your life. It takes the throne in our life. And here's the cycle that happens. So I put that for you. Whatever is on the throne, you worship. We are creatures of worship. We will bow down to something. We will worship something. So whatever is on the throne, we worship. We put that first in our life. And then secondly, Whatever you worship, you serve. You give your time to it. You give your money to it. You give your focus to it. You give your effort to it. You give your body and soul to it, no matter what, right? It doesn't matter what other people want me to do or what I think, and I'm giving it to that because that becomes my God. And then number three, whatever you serve, you eventually become a slave to. Before, you could walk away because you weren't really bound, but the more you serve it, the more bound you get, and you get bound up, and you're chained to it, and you're handcuffed to it, and you can't get away. You become its slave. In Romans 6:16, it says, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." And we talked about how that death, how life gets robbed from you. When you give yourself to something other than God, no master is a good master except for God. It robs you of your life. It takes you away. Don't offer the parts of your body to indecency, to that, because it becomes your God and it takes you away. I put on your outline for you this point: when something becomes your master and you bow down to it above everything else, it has become your God. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. And here he's talking about money. He says you're going to love one and you're going to hate the other. You're going to be devoted to one. You're going to despise the other. You can't serve two masters. You've got to draw the line. And so we need to evaluate ourselves and say, has this really become my master? Do I really love this more than I do God? I serve it more than God. I seek it more than God because it brings me more fulfillment than God. My love's in the wrong direction, and I need to readdress that and put my affection back in the right direction. And number four in dealing with this, I think sometimes we forget because we think all these bad things are addicting us. But number four, many times it's the good things that God has given us to enjoy that we become too attracted to and we put our trust in. And when we put these things before God, they become idols in our heart. You know, food, sex, family, competition, sports, work, pleasure, friendship, money, recreation. Is there anything wrong with those things? No, they're good things that God gave us to enjoy, but when we put our trust in them to bring fulfillment, when we seek after them more than anything else, they take God's place. Let me just read something out of the Old Testament with you. It's going to be up here on the screen out of Isaiah 44 that talks about this and the idol worship. They worshiped idols just like we do. And this is what it says in verse 14 of Isaiah 44. Let me read two verses, then pick up with 16. He cuts down cedars, is talking about. He selects the cypress and the oak. He plants the pine in the forest to be nourished by the rain. Then he uses part of the wood to make a fire. With it, he warms himself and bakes his bread. Then, yes, it's true, he takes the rest of it and makes himself a god to worship. He makes an idol and bows down in front of it. Then verse 16, he burns part of the tree to roast his meat to keep himself warm. And he says, ah, that fire feels good. Then he takes what's left and he makes his god a carved idol. He falls down in front of it, worshiping and praying to it. Rescue me, he says. You are my God. Such stupidity and ignorance. Their eyes are closed. They cannot see. Their minds are shut and they cannot think. They don't even know they're worshiping idols. God gives us these good things to use, whether it's fire. We were joking about that the other night. We just had a bonfire out last night, and we did a cookout with s'mores and everything out there. Nathan brought us the good wood, it's funny, he made this comment. We were looking at it, and he said, boy, if I lived back in those idol worship days, I'd worship fire. I think it's pretty cool. He didn't know I was going to preach on that this morning. I think he's addicted to fire. That's what I really think. I'm addicted to the s'mores. I have the other problem. I worship them. I bow down to those peanut butter cups we put in there and those chocolate bars. But what happens is, you know, it's meant for good. God made all those things for good, but when we start trusting in them instead of God, idol worship is worshiping the created instead of the creator. We see all the good things that God has made, we begin to bow down to them instead of the God who created it, or the things we created instead of the creator. And so that's the process that happens. Good things. I honestly think sometimes family becomes our God. I think we worship our family more than God. If our family told us to do this or our spouse told us to do that, we would do it. I always remember my dad telling us, he told my mom, he kept telling us, you're not going to be number one in my life. He told that to my mom. I thought, well, what's wrong with you? And then he told the dust kins, you're not going to be number one in my life. Why? Because God has to be one, not you. You're going to be second. My job or ministry is third, but you're not going to be number one in my life. Why? Because he understood that. If you make anything before God in your life, it becomes your idol and it controls you and it will destroy you. Those aren't people to be worshipped. They're not people to be bowed down to. And nothing else, whether it's recreation or fun or sports or any of these other things, are meant to be God, only God. And the good thing is when you put God in the first place, everything else works out. But when you don't get the love because it doesn't bring that fulfillment that you need. So the cause is really idol worship that we have because we develop love relationships with the things of the world instead of with God, and we love them more. So then what is the cure for addictions? You need to dethrone your idols and put Christ back on the throne in your heart. Dethrone them. Break them down. James says, avoid idols. Get rid of them. That's easy to say. It's hard to do. I don't know how to get rid of Mountain Dew. I know how to get rid of the other idols in your life. Well, there are some ways, and Jesus gives us a clue. Jesus gives us the answer. We need to turn to him for an answer. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 21 is a scripture that talks about that this father came with his kids to Jesus. He said to his disciples, and he said, would you please cast the demon out of this boy because he keeps throwing himself in the fire and the water. He's going to die. He's being injured. Disciples could not cast it out. So they bring it to Jesus, and Jesus does. So I want to read that. I'm reading out of the New King James Version because a lot of the versions, they'll leave out verse 21. And verse 21 is a key. And if you look in your Bible, it might say at the bottom, some manuscripts say this in verse 21. So I want to read it with you out of the New King James Version. It says this, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down, came to Jesus, to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic. He suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. They had no power over this addiction. They couldn't change it. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus is going to tell them. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And here's the key, verse 21, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So what keeps us bound, Jesus tells us here in this passage, number one, we are unbelieving. You're unbelieving, you don't have faith, and what does that mean? It means that you are not connected enough to God. You're not connected to God. You're living in the world. You don't spend your time with God. You're thinking about the things of the world. You're loving the things of the world. You're not in the spiritual realm. Jesus always spent time with his Father, always escaped to be with him, to be better connected to God. And then he came down and ministered in the world. But your faith is too weak because you aren't enjoying the presence of God in your life. You're focused more on the flesh than you are on the spirit. So you're unbelieving. The second thing he says, you're perverse. Now, I don't like the fact of saying somebody's perverse because when I think perverted, I think of child molester. But that's really not what perverse means. What perverse means is you're too connected to the world. You're not connected to God, and you're too connected to the world. That's your problem. You're unbelieving, and you're perverse. That's why you can't break this. That's why you have no power. That's why you're not able to find victory in your life. Now, that sounds kind of harsh, and it sounds kind of hopeless to me. He says you don't have any faith. He says, you know, if you did have little faith, just about the size of a mustard seed, you could do it. If you had a little faith, you could tell this mountain to be cast away and you could do it. The chains could be broken. You could find freedom, but you don't have that much faith. Now, that's kind of a hopeless place to be. If he would have stopped there, that would have kind of been bad. But Jesus goes on and he gives us the solution. And here's the solution. He said in verse 21, this only comes out by prayer and fasting. So look at this. What's the solution? Number one is prayer. What does prayer do? It connects you with God. He says, your problem is you're unbelieving because you're not connected to God, so you need to spend time in prayer with him. You need to spend time not just listing your prayers, you need to spend time fellowshipping with him, talking to him, being in his presence, enjoying him. That's going to strengthen you. And the second thing is fasting. What does fasting do? It disconnects us from the world. Your problem is you're not connected to God, which if you'll pray, you can be connected to God. And your problem is you're too connected to the world, and you break that by fasting. But do any of us fast? Do you really fast? Are we committed to get aside and say, God, I want to pray to you and be in your presence and enjoy you, and I want to fast? And fasting is not something which you do just to show how disciplined you are. It's not something that you do to show God you'll suffer for him. Fasting is disconnecting yourself from the thing that has become a god in your life. Now, my dad, I thought it was funny, but he said comic strips got to be too much of a god for him. Now, I think that's weird. Maybe I thought, you're really oversensitive. That's what I thought about my dad. I guess he didn't have cartoons on TV back there when he was a kid. He read the paper. So I spent all my time looking at the comic strips. And God convicted me and said, you're spending more time there than you're reading the Bible. You love them more than you love me, and you got to get rid of them. He stopped looking at the comic strips. How much of us, you know, we're probably addicted to Facebook. We spend 8 hours a day on Facebook. We don't spend 1 minute in the Word of God. So maybe some of you need to take your phone, throw it out for 21 days. I'm going to get rid of that phone for a while. You can call my wife. She'll take care of it for you. Maybe some of us need to disconnect our cable or what are we watching. Get rid of it for a while. Maybe some of us, you know, food, all we can do is think about food and that, and we say, well, I'm going to disconnect from that then for the next week or so. I'm going to get away from that because I need not to be. Mountain Dew, I guess we're going to throw it out for a while. I'm too connected to that. I'm going to start drinking water instead. I'm going to put lemonade in it, something else. I told you last week, watch out, because you'll be addicted to something else. You'll start drinking beer instead of that, and then you'll really get addicted. But, you know, we got to watch out that we don't do that. But fasting is disconnecting myself from that which has taken too much things. Water is the best thing for you, exactly. Now, I don't think you should disconnect yourself from your family and just ignore them now for the rest of your life. But it might not hurt to get away for a week from those people that are dominating you and seek God and praise him and say, I don't want this thing to be in the throne of my life, and be able to deal with it. So here's the application. Will you commit yourself to Christ's formula for freedom? And that is prayer and fasting. I really want to challenge you on that, because I don't think that we can overcome those addictions unless we follow God's plan, and also unless we have the support of other people to do it. And we've talked about that. What I would like to see us do, and just to humor me, if you take out your friendship cards, your connection cards that you have in the bulletin, what I would like to see us do is this summer, I would like to see us have an AC group. I don't know why I called it AC, but I had some reason to call it air conditioning group. I think that was it. I think maybe it meant in my mind accountability, but I thought air conditioning would be just as good for Nita. So, you know, an AC group, you know, and if we met for like 6 weeks, meet once a week, because I say I want accountability partners, I want to overcome my Mountain Dew addiction or whatever addiction is. I would like to be able to meet with somebody and just pray and see God. And I would like them to hold me accountable for the 6 week period to see if I got rid of my cell phone, you know, for that time, or my Twitter or whatever it was, or my gambling things that I want to address and say I'm not going to spend all that money. But if you are interested in being a part of a group like that, just put on your connection card AC group. And because I can imagine that we would have a group of people that would come together. Maybe the ladies would divide up. Maybe the men would divide up and just pray for each other and just seek help in those different areas. But I think if you don't commit to really overcoming something, you never will. And I don't think you can do it on your own. And I think you can only do it by prayer and fasting. So the fasting idea is, over this 6 weeks, I'm going to cut back on this or cut away from this. And I'm going to ask you to pray and help me so it isn't my God. Because we have to dethrone the idols. And we have to put God back on the throne and Christ on the throne. And when we do that, we find victory, we find power to make us the church we want to be. Because if we're going to be the people that leads other people out of addictions, we have to be dethroning our own idols and become a power source when other people come in and say, that's where you can go get help. And God can help us as we do that. So if you're interested in something like that, even if it's a few people, we can get together and we can do something. Mark that on your card. But I hope that this series has been helpful to you in understanding some of those things that's going on, and I hope that Jesus speaks to you and says, yes, it's possible. You can't break those cycles through prayer and fasting. I knew somebody that reading online about pornography, and they were really addicted. This was a pastor, really addicted, couldn't get off of it. Went to fasting and prayer on the fourth day of fasting and prayer. God healed him, took it away. Nothing else worked. Nothing worked. But on the fourth day, it transformed his life. So, you know, I don't think Jesus says it lightly. I think it works if we do it, but we have to be committed to it. Let's just pray. I want to pray for you. Worship team's going to come back and lead us out in that song about amazing grace. But I just pray that I want to pray for your families for this weekend, that you just have a great time and remembering what Jesus did. But Jesus died not only to forgive our sins, he died to break the power of sin in our life and to set us free. We don't need to be bound. We don't need to have that identity. We can find freedom in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we give up easily, and maybe over time, and it hasn't been easily. But I pray that maybe you would give somebody hope that there is can be a change. Maybe they see themselves in that cycle, and they know that you can bring freedom, but maybe they need help from somebody else. And Lord, I'm afraid too many of us, probably all of us, are too much unbelieving and too much perverse, and we need to connect more to you and unconnect from the world. We can do it through prayer and fasting. Help us to see it and help us to commit ourselves to it, to be the people you want us to be, that we can help free others in the bondage that we have found ourselves in. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.